welcome everyone to the Evil Thread podcast. As always, I am Brett, and with me today, my Robin.
Yeah, okay.
I have Steve here, and this is episode number 37. We're getting up there. And today we're revisiting an old friend, which makes it kind of special.
The director.
Yeah, we're revisiting Mr. Brandon Cronenberg, and this will be a nice one to talk about. But before we do, I just want to chat with you. I want to know how you've been.
I want to know if... Well, there's a couple things, actually. I've been okay. But I listen, forget about me. I have questions for you specifically, right, that I'm mulling over. Is this the first movie that we recorded in the same year that it was released?
That is a good question. No, I feel like we reviewed a movie last year in 2022 that had come out in 2022.
Really? Okay, damn. I was like...
I'm pretty sure.
I was so sure, too. And the only reason you're saying I'm Robin, by the way, is because of what I said off air a few minutes ago.
I have no idea what you could be referring
to. Yeah, okay. Yes, but I've been all right, man.
Nice. That's good to hear.
Out here getting this money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much... the only thing I ever think about is getting that money.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Dude, I got a question real quick.
Yeah.
And I only ask because I'm currently getting these messages. Have you ever put anything on Marketplace for like really cheap and like 100 people are messaging you about it?
Yeah, it's happened.
Does it bother you at all? Like half of me should have like, is like, I should have put it on for a little higher. And then half of me, the other half, just wants to, like, take it off completely.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, I'm getting messages in the middle of the night. Like, people asking for dimensions, like,
oh, God.
The color of it. I'm just like...
You could always remove and relist.
I know, I should.
Could
I
do
should.
That.
It's just like, I just want it out of the house.
You got to be careful, too. Some people on there are, like,
They're scammies. Sketchy. Or, like, bots or something like that. Yeah,
got to be careful. Because, you'll get that all the time. You'll say, okay, yeah, when can you meet?
No response.
That's it.
Yeah. I actually asked like 40 people, when can you meet? Because they're all like, I can come tomorrow. I'll come tomorrow. I'm like, okay, what time? Blank.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck, man? I don't know. That shit drives me nuts, man. Thankfully, I don't sell that much stuff on there. My wife does sell more.
Well, Barb's so loyal because she'll like, if one person asks for it, she'll hold it for that one person. I'm like, I already guaranteed it to 6 people. I was like, whoever gets here first gets the... gets the prize, man. Like that's how it works.
That's a good way to go about it, I think.
Yeah.
Even though it might cause some controversy.
Battle royale out front.
Yeah, you just gotta hope one of those guys isn't like the size of like the Undertaker.
I would hope not. I don't give you. Out the address until they're about to come.
You should also meet at like a other location.
Instead of
unless
my house.
It's big. Is it a big thing?
It's like one of those like coffee tables, like the fold. The lift top coffee tables.
Could it fit in one of your cars?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that's a good
point.
I would
say you should go to like Target or whatever.
Is that what you guys normally do?
That's what we usually do. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's just keeps everybody safe. And
I mean,
stuff.
God forbid, like it's missing a piece or something, and then they know where to go. They just,
yeah,
I wake up and there's like a coffee table through my window.
Oh, just like the leg is only through the window.
Yeah.
Like not
yeah.
anything else. Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. Well, hopefully you saw all that shit soon, man.
Yeah, we got
especially
a lot of
this
stuff.
Thing next to us.
Oh, yeah, this gigantic
elliptical. Fucking huge.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything so big up close because I don't go to the gym.
I thought it was going to be a good idea to just keep down here. The previous owners were like, do you want to keep it? And I was like, what? Yeah, why,
yeah, why not?
Like, it looks
you
kinda...
haven't used it, I guess.
I used it one time for like 10 minutes. And then I realized how much I fucking hate the elliptical. It, like, I'd rather be outside doing something if I'm going to do something.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's perfect. Like, if I had a larger living space, it'd be perfect for someone like me because I don't like the outdoors, as we discussed off air.
Steve, I mean, I got something right here for you.
Get the fuck out. Dude, I don't have the space for that. Are you crazy?
I know. You got the...
Peloton.
Yeah, that's...
Which I need to make more of a concentrated effort to get on.
But it's newer. It's much smaller.
right. It's much more attractive.
Yeah. And it motivates you.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a person motivating you to
get literally.
On it.
I mean, and but not always, because I do the Guitar Hero style workouts. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's literally like you switch lanes. It's like tracks like you would see on Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Right? You switch lanes and sometimes you have to pedal really fast or there'll be like notes.
Get out of
here. You have to stay in that lane and switch to this one for the next set of notes. That's
kind of cool.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah. It's like an experimental thing they're doing. But yeah, and it just plays music. Like, you know, yeah. You don't get to choose the music. Like, you can, but it's like, it may not be stuff you're necessarily into.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I usually do the same ones over and over.
Okay.
It's whatever. But it's fun, honestly.
I think I would rather that than like some like happy, peppy guy urging me to keep pushing just a little further.
Yo, they're the happy and peppy guy that works for them, Cody Rigsby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he's like a fan, like the fan favorite. Like, and he's exactly like how you're describing.
Yeah.
Like really peppy and all that shit. But he's funny. And
like a Brad Pitt from Burn After Reading type deal or?
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, man. So besides that, let's see what else. Oh, you asked me about my hair this morning.
Yeah, what happened?
Apparently it's not up to par.
Well, no, it just looked disheveled, as if you had just gotten out of bed.
That's right. And I said I had just gotten out of the water.
What? Not shower.
Not shower. And, yeah, so I don't know if you've ever heard of it, and I'm sure you have, like cold plunges. Like people get into very... Like
polar plunge?
Kind like that, except like it's in a more...
controlled?
Controlled and confined space.
You just did that this morning?
Yeah, I have like a big... it's like a horse trough that I got from from a tractor supply shop.
Okay, yeah,
You fill it with water, and then you dump ice in it, and then you hop in it, and you sit in there for like 3-ish minutes or whatever.
Oh,
and it's supposed to be like very stimulating. Like it's better, it's supposed to be better than like drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, athletes do it, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
it can't be that bad.
Yeah, no, it's like awesome for recovery. Yeah, so you're familiar with like the cold plunge.
Yeah, okay, damn.
Yeah, so I did that this morning. That was very cold.
I believe
my daughter was throwing ice cubes at me while I was in the water.
Was she?
Yeah.
That's funny. She hit you with any?
No, luckily not. But if like
she's
enough,
young enough.
Yeah, yeah. She's not like
her aim is not great yet.
No, not yet.
It'll get there.
She'll learn in time.
Yeah, you'll find out the hard way.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Dude, but you should try it sometime. I'm telling you, it's.
I gotta get a horse trowel first.
Invigorating.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn. I don't imagine I'd like it very much, but I would be willing to try.
Yeah,
you know,
especially considering that you don't like the outside that much or the outdoors. Yeah,
hate it. But I hate it so much. It's like such a known thing that this summer, my wife Carrie likes to go to the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So I hate it so much, like the outdoors, that we reached a compromise. And the compromise was I'll attend 50% of as many times as you go to the beach. If you go 8 times, I'll go 4 times.
Wow.
That's fair.
Okay.
I think.
But how do you, I mean.
I have no idea how many times. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But you figure in a summer, if you go 4 times, let's say you go once a week, let's say.
Okay. That's
then
fair.
Then that's half.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah,
I'll go 2 times in July, 2 times in August, or whatever.
All right.
You could really upgrade it till 6 times, really, because you count June.
True.
You know?
Did you talk about, like, limits or, like minimums? Like, how long you have to be there?
No, it's just I'm going to be there for as long as I have to be.
As long as you have to be.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
No.
I hear you, man.
No, you don't.
I mean, for, like, a guy who doesn't burn if he's outside, I would think that you would enjoy the sun a little more. Like, I get people who are like albino or who like literally just melt in the sun.
Yeah.
But you don't have that skin tone.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't like, I just can't get into the idea of being shirtless and covered in sand and
attacked by seagulls while you're trying to eat your sandwich.
That too, yeah, because I'm definitely bringing food.
Oh, 100%.
I do. And then I don't know if it's just me. Like, recently, I don't really drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at all anymore.
Yeah.
And I can't understand how somebody could want to get drunk at the beach. Like, I don't, personally, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't get that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't think I have ever been able to actually get drunk at the beach.
Yeah.
And I've tried before numerous times. I don't know what it is, if it's
sweating. Could be.
But yeah, maybe you're sweating out what you're putting, but I would think the dehydration would almost get you drunk faster, right?
True. Like,
but I don't know. Maybe there's something about being outdoors that, I don't know,
changes something.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know, man, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it's fair enough that you don't like the outside.
Yeah. You do, though.
Hermit.
I can tell just looking at your shirt.
I do.
That you like the outside.
How could you tell?
I don't know.
Does it look like I belong in the wilderness?
Yeah, it does. You're dressed like a...
I'm dressed like a typical dad. I got my slippers on.
Oh, God.
And I have my wife beater under my plaid shirt.
That's right,
not
dude.
Even, it's not even... It's flannel. It's not even plaid. It's flannel.
Right. Yeah. You look like a Lifetime movie dad. Yeah. That's who you look like right now.
A Lifetime movie dad. I feel like one. I feel like I got a lifetime ahead of me.
Oh, God.
But, oh, my God. The coffee table. Stop. Get away from me.
They're messaging you still?
Still. Shit. Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah. So, like, what?
Oh.
I haven't watched a fucking thing other than Evil Dead Rise, which you still haven't seen.
I know.
And Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, which I still haven't seen.
Dude.
Which one?
Rowan would have a good time. I think.
We were just trying to decide when we should bring Rowan to the theater to see her first
She's
movie.
Never been, right?
Not yet.
Interesting.
The longest time she's ever sat through something was when we went to see Frozen on Ice, and it was like an hour and a half.
And she watched the whole thing, pretty much?
Yeah, she was good. She was good, but it was like there was a break, an intermission in between.
Right.
I can't really do that with movies.
Yeah, it's the only problem.
But if we get like an hour and a half movie, and it's like, it's a little different because the lights are off and like the screen is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
We might be able to pull it off.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, I think. You're okay. Right.
And she's like a little over three now, and I think that's kind of a good age maybe for like a first movie.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was kids that age, I think, when I went, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I don't know how familiar she is with the character and stuff, but I'm sure when you were younger, you had a couple of Mario games in some form or another.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely something for everybody, kids and adults alike, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely a good movie.
Okay.
Feeling like she can, absolutely go, man.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it.
We got to give something a shot. I think it's about that time.
Yeah.
But back to what I have seen. I did watch a couple things, but not like anything super, super special. I did watch that Netflix special, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, how was that?
Really good.
I wanted to watch it, maybe.
You should.
Yeah.
Watch
it's a special? Like, what do you mean?
Not a special. Like, a original. Sorry.
Oh,
Netflix
okay.
Original.
I'm like, what? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, wait, special? What do you mean? yeah, it's a Netflix original. It's a German movie, so I watched it in German with subtitles.
Mm.
Oh, but it's a look at World War I from the Germans' perspective. And,
That's brutal.
It's raw. They're not trying to sugarcoat anything, and, yeah, I mean, once again, you just see how fucked up war is.
Yo, World War One, bro. I mean, people say things a lot, but from what I understand, the history of war, that's definitely the worst one.
Yeah, like, I mean, no, in the end, no one wants to be in a war.
No way.
I think that's what it comes down to. No one wants to actually be there.
No,
fucking fighting. They just want to go home. They don't care. They're not trying to prove anything. They just want to go home to their families.
Yeah.
Highly suggest. Beautifully shot.
Yeah. It was up for like some Oscar nominations.
Oh yeah, it did. I think it won
mistaken.
A couple things.
Like,
maybe for cinematography.
On the technical stuff.
Cinematography.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
The score was
really,
amazing.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta check it out, man.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Speaking of our man, Alexander Skarsgård, I am all caught up with Succession.
Oh, I've been hearing nothing but amazing things.
Oh, dude, you got to check
about
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie had suggested it,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, sure.
Yeah. It doesn't seem appealing when you read the synopsis.
I look at it and I think, without even reading a synopsis, I see the characters and I'm like, is this like a prequel to Ballers?
Dude. Yes, exactly. Just like that. I had the same thought process too. And the first couple episodes, it takes a little bit to get used to.
That happens.
But then something big happens and you're sucked in. So,
have you seen, because I finally decided after hearing it from many, many people, you seen The Boys?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, it's definitely the next show I'm watching.
Have you started it?
No.
Oh my God. I think we've talked about
it before. I'm going to love it though.
Briefly on here. You're going to love it. It's crazy.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I saw the first episode a while back. A friend showed me.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of that, I was like, whoa, what the fuck?
That is nothing.
It reminds me of like Invincible, kind of the cartoon. In terms of violence and stuff?
Spot on.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's I love
it's
that.
It's like a live action version of Invincible.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, because I'm finishing up. I'm at a snail's pace, bro, with like Star Wars, The Bad Batch. Like, mm-hmm. I have not finished. It's 16 episodes and they're 30 minutes and I still haven't finished. Wow. Like, and I've been watching it for months.
Months ago.
I know. So I need to just buckle down, finish that up, and then I'm going to start The Boys.
Good, good, good. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That should be your next show for sure.
All right, cool.
And then one more, Wrath of Man, Guy Ritchie film.
Oh.
With Jason Statham.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good. It was good. It was like a typical, like, kind of heisty thriller.
Oh, okay, okay. Thing.
Yeah, action-y. Yeah,
I could get into it.
Yeah, it was good. And if, like, you have nothing to watch and you want to throw it on, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Guy Ritchie just came out with, I think he just came out with another movie, too. I forget the name. It's with Jake Gyllenhaal. I can't remember. It's like a war movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Guy Ritchie. Interesting.
Yeah. Which is... Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, usually he doesn't go for those. I haven't seen. Has he ever done a war movie before?
To my recollection, no.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Should be interesting.
Yeah.
But that is the extent of what I have watched. How about yourself?
Oh, dude. Evil Dead Rise, Mario, and Infinity Pool. That's kind of it.
Evil Dead Rise, man.
Dude,
we briefly talked about
it. You gotta.
I know. I know. I just need a
time
second to get there,
dude. Next weekend you're not on call, correct?
I'm not. I won't be on Long Island.
Fuck.
Saturday into possibly Sunday.
Ah,
I know. But I.
Well, the next weekend you're not on call and you're on Long Island.
All right. I may. Yeah.
You gotta go.
I may try and go during a weekday if I can.
Yeah.
Sneak it in there if I have like a.
Oh, dude, even
a late
better.
Start to a case.
I mean, it's the type of thing. I know you got two kids, but I don't think there's any other franchise where you could be like, Barb, I have to go to see this movie.
She would understand.
Right. Exactly.
She was actually. She was actually a little upset that I didn't go with you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like. She's like, well, I thought you guys planned it out. I was like. We did, but I also forgot that we were going to Boston.
Yeah, it's tough.
So
man.
That's all right. It is what it is, man.
You
guys were rolling deep, though, right?
Six people.
All right.
And because you and my other friend couldn't go, it was three sets of brothers, which is weird.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird.
Didn't Lupo go?
Yeah, and his brother.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Lupo and his brother, my brother, me, and my friend Matt and his brother Rob.
Did you guys all sit like... In pairs?
No, because Brian and John messed it up.
Oh, no.
I was fucking pissed. No, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, they sat in between me and my brother.
Okay, nice.
It's fucked up, man. But yes, you are going to love it.
Awesome.
Definitely.
I'm very excited. 100%. I'm very excited.
I can't wait for you to see it, man.
I'm trying not to spoil it for myself because I keep on seeing a couple things that pop up.
Yeah.
But I don't really think it's going to spoil anything.
Nah, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, there's not much to spoil. It's an Evil Dead movie, so you kind of know where it's going.
Right.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I really want to make more time for movies, man, but it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm gravitating more toward television shows just because you can watch one and then stop. Like, it's not as deep of a commitment, man, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you could stop halfway through an episode. If you had to.
Really. I would never fucking do that. No. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
I would never. Bro, I can't. The idea of stopping halfway through anything, and I know it's because I don't have kids. I can't fuck. It's sacrilegious, man, in my eyes. But if you have kids, it's different.
Yeah. I wouldn't choose to if I didn't have to. But definitely not ideal.
Yeah. So you know me, man. I'm heavy on the video games, man. Always.
Always.
Yeah, but that's kind of it, man.
All right. Well, what are you thinking, man? Should we dive into this one?
Yeah, I think so.
dive straight in to this infinity pool.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, we may.
Yes, we may. All right. Well, today we are reviewing 2023's Infinity Pool by our man, Mr. Brandon Cronenberg. Question. How do you feel about Brandon versus his father in terms of, do you see similarities? Do you see differences in their work?
I saw zero similarities outside of the body stuff until this movie. I saw a lot more, I thought.
Okay, so you mean from his, like, from Possessor and Antiviral, you didn't see anything? You see more?
I mean, I don't want to say I didn't see anything, yeah, but I saw it the most in this movie, definitely.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Brandon Cronenberg, like, his influence from other stuff that he's watched definitely came through in this movie more than anything else.
Yes.
And his own style, and I don't want to, he's only done three movies, but there are some things that I think are detrimental to the quality of his movies. If he continues to do this thing that I'm referring to in multiple movies, I'll tell you about it in a second. But that's just, I'm just getting my thoughts out on that question.
Okay. You don't want to mention it though now?
I can. Okay. The whole like hallucinogenic thing with like the colors and shit, he did that in Possessor too.
Yes.
That's fine, but I don't want to see that in every movie you do. I can't remember if he did it in Antiviral.
Yes.
Did he?
No, I don't. I agree with you. Okay, I'm not sure. Actually, I haven't seen Antiviral.
I don't want to see that in every movie.
Okay.
You know what
I'm saying? I'm with you on that one.
Like too. Infinity Pool, I think it makes sense because he's tripping. James Foster is tripping on drugs.
He's tripping, and you could argue that during those sequences too, it could be like a transferring of memories or
right.
whatever. So like the idea of it being like very trippy and kind of makes sense.
It works for Possessor as well, same kind of way.
It does, but like you said, I don't want to see that for every single movie that he does. But I do like that he is kind of establishing himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Separate from his father. Because, like, I mean, there are similarities between the two. Like, they both focus on technology and humans and kind of, like, the dangers of combining the two.
Yeah.
And while there is, like, some pretty, like, raw and visceral gore, I don't think that Brandon Cronenberg is necessarily... I don't think you should consider his type of gore like body horror?
No, I wouldn't.
Right. Like in the same way that you would consider David Cronenberg's, like that's kind of what he's known for is body horror.
Right.
Type deal.
Cronenberg, Brandon inched closer to that in this movie, I think, with
agreed.
One particular scene than he did in Possessor. Because Possessor was kind of just like, how do I put this? Like further away perspective of the violence. Like this is the closest we've gotten in this movie. Like actually watching a knife go into somebody. This is like, we got close.
I believe that happened at the very beginning of Possessor.
Oh, it did?
With a knife in particular.
Oh, I thought it was all far away. You know, they closed up on it.
I'm pretty sure when the first like infiltrator went in and like had to kill the guy or whatever. I'm pretty sure it was close.
Okay.
But it definitely happened more in this film than it did in Possessor.
I got you.
So I agree with you. I think that this movie was much more similar in terms of like production and editing and score to Possessor than it was to any of Cronenberg's father's films, which is nice because it's kind of like we don't want to see replication, but more like a passing of the torch.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's kind of what Brandon is doing now.
Yeah.
Is creating this own image for himself, which is good.
Oh, he absolutely, unmistakably is, man. No doubt. Carving his own space kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Real quickly, the cinematography, too, was done by Kareem Hussein, who also worked with Brandon on both Antiviral and Possessor.
Nice.
The only reason I bring it up is because I thought it was very well done.
Oh, agreed.
Did that warped camera at the beginning of the movie fuck with you at all?
No, because I have plenty of practice with the movie Smile. because they did that like 50,000 times in that movie.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it didn't bother me too much.
Okay, because it threw me off, man. I had to like look away for a second. Yeah, Barbara and I both had to look away. I was like, it was making me kind of nauseous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I don't know. Maybe I ate something bad or
Makes you think they should put a warning at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, right? Like may cause seizures or vertigo or some shit.
Right.
But yeah, that I liked that, and it really set the stage for like this disorienting movie or story that was about to take place. Yep. So that was cool.
I agree. Right, because if you're literally, you know, honestly, the concept is so, I don't know, it's so like enigmatic. Like you understand it, but at the same time, like, is that still him? Is it not him? Like, I think that's where the camera turning upside down repeatedly is kind of like, it's like a sense of like delirium.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know what the fuck is going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I me?
Yes.
Or am I not me?
Yes.
Fucking nuts, man.
And that is questioned the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. And Brandon does do a fair amount of directing the audience's, I think, opinion on that. During the movie, with what he has James Foster say and what he has him do and stuff, like
even some of the shots from different perspectives was very clever on Cronenberg's part.
Mm-hmm.
That like we'll talk about when we go like a little deeper in, but yeah, man, I guess in an interview, I guess Brandon had mentioned something about drawing inspiration for James's character through himself.
Mm.
This movie was written in between Antiviral and Possessor.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And right. Which was like, and this was like in, I think what, Antiviral was 2012 and Possessor was 2020, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess he was having some writer's block and he was having trouble getting things made because of, financing problems. And he just made a quote, like, as a writer, you're very familiar with the writer's self-loathing that kicks in those dark hours alone in your room. So some of James was self-mockery and maybe that's part of the psychology. So that's interesting that I guess at one point he felt like he was in James's position. But
right.
I mean, I guess that's kind of how people draw inspiration through like their own experiences.
Absolutely. You know? And you know, it's definitely not in a humorous sense. Like James is very obviously like down on himself the entire fucking movie.
Definitely.
Like he doesn't stop, you know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Only when he starts undergoing the process of doubling is when he starts to like change entirely, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then once he's getting like encouragement or support from the other characters in the movie, does he start to feel a little more confident?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
100%. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope. Which, go ahead. Because I was going to change gears.
I was going to ask, like, what, like, based upon him and Gabby's first meeting, like, I don't know if it's something I missed, but what's Gabby's, like, main reasoning for pulling him into this whole thing?
She does. They do make so. Excuse me. Yeah, something.
You okay.
Cut in my throat. Yeah. Gabby and Albin and the rest of the gang, they come back to this resort every year, right? She makes a comment about that, and at first you're like, "Oh, it must be just a nice resort for them to get away." But she does make a comment that this is like further on in the movie that they come back every year to pretty much like torture and abuse
people.
One individual.
Oh,
like one they individual. Single right. out an individual and then they do exactly what they did to James pretty much.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And this is like a way of letting out, I guess, built up anger or
right.
letting off some steam.
Cause they know they can get away with it repeatedly.
Right.
Right.
Hence why like Gabby's like in the very beginning of the movie, like, "Oh, I read your book. I love it." And blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it makes you wonder, well, I mean, when I first was watching the movie, I was wondering, like, did they intentionally single out James for that particular reason? Did they know that he was, like, weaker and able to be more easily manipulated? Or was it just kind of like they got there and they randomly picked a guy? Yeah.
Because they can tell who's tourist and who's not.
Exactly. Right? And yeah. I mean, they must have known, but if there's so many tourists there, like, they're not going through, like, each single person, you know?
They had to have done some background, like, on him.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. They must have known that, like, he comes from money, but it's not his money,
right,
in a sense, which obviously that'll bring someone down a little bit. He's not a successful writer. He's only put out one book that had pretty poor reviews, so that's going to lower his self-esteem and make him more easily manipulatable. Is that a word?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Manipulated.
More easily manipulated.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, is that kind of what you were thinking?
Or? Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, as far as Gabby's concerned and stuff, it's like, I don't know. And then she, like, she's very obviously married, but then she, like, from the beginning, is, like, flirting with him and, like, making sexual advances and stuff. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell, like, if she was actually into him. Probably not, right? Like, it's probably all just to fucking...
Yeah, I think I mean, you can see how easily they can separate, like, one life from another.
Right.
She's also considers herself, like, a great actress or whatever.
Oh, so I think
that she can put on this, like, facade.
That dinner scene was painful. Yeah, when she was, like, trying to cut through the bread. I was like, oh.
That was pretty rough.
This is awkward.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, just dialing back to what we were saying earlier, I think they saw a broken man they could easily, you know, manipulate, make him feel important, and...
Drug him up,
and he'll do whatever they want, kind of deal. And we see this happen in the movie where, like, James gets caught in a cycle where the more unhinged he acts, the more praise he receives.
Yeah.
And actually, this brings up another question that I wanted to ask you.
Mm.
Do you think the actions of James were a product of his environment, or was he always this way and the people around him just helped him bring it out? Meaning, like, once again, do you think this was a nature? Like, are humans just inherently kind of evil?
Yeah.
Like, if not held accountable, will they do
whatever
they want?
Oh, dude.
Or do you think this was more like James isn't that bad of a guy, but he was just surrounded by people that made him feel special, and that's why he became this like unhinged character,
right,
that we saw?
Definitely nature, because, I mean, listen, he was married for 10 years, and he had, like, tons of money because of his wife. You get complacent, you get comfortable, right? You don't really feel the need to, like, yeah, he can just say, yeah, you know, writer's block or whatever. I had one bad book and everybody hated it. And you could say that because your wife makes a lot of money. But is that true? Or are you just getting comfortable with where you are? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he never had the opportunity to get violent, to get depraved until he came to that island. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
He was given the opportunity for the first time in his life.
Yeah.
Which is why he so easily went into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Because I imagine I would act the same way if I was him.
I mean, it's... And once again, like, there's no accountability. Like, the second you find out that you could do the most heinous of crimes and get away with it, what's to keep you grounded?
Dude, wait a minute. When he hits the person when they're driving, that had to have been... Because, like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, they can do the whole... Like, do they have to be... they have to be still alive when they go into the doubling process?
I would assume so.
You would assume so?
I think.
Okay. Because I was thinking, oh, yeah, but that guy could have just been, like, a double of someone.
Oh, like, they kind of set the stage? Like,
yeah, that's what... Do you think that's what happened?
I did originally, but Gabby does make a comment when she's, like, harassing him towards the end, calling, like, just, like, belittling him. She says, you know, we singled you out, and we were going to find a way to, you know, set you up, but you did it yourself because you're just so stupid. Like, so I think that was just an accident.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But you can tell, like, she's definitely, they have done this many times because after the accident, she's like, we have to get out of here. The cops are going to do this, that, and that thing. Like, she knows what's going on, like, because she's been in these types of situations before. But she's also, I think, trying to scare him.
Definitely.
Like, on purpose. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you need to stick with us because we're going to protect you, basically, even though you just fucked up.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
bad.
But then, it does make me wonder, like, was it set up? Because they borrowed Detective Thresh's uncle's car, who was Mr. Thresh.
Oh, dude.
You know what I mean?
What and a weird...
And everything kind of just... Everything just, like, flowed so easily back to James and M. Like,
right.
The fact that they used the detective's uncle's car and it came back damaged and, like...
Like, really weird, man. Yeah. Right? Like the cop is in on it kind of thing.
And I think he is because... right. Which would make sense because for financial gain for your country 100%. Or whatever, for your resort or your country or whatever, 100%. Your government. And I think he definitely was because even that scene where the gang pretends that James... is beating up Detective Thresh, and he's actually beating up like a version of himself.
Yeah.
The detective helped them
do that.
Do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gotta be in on it, man.
Dude, there's a decent amount of things that we could talk about in here.
Yeah. Like how would the detective have even found out that James was the one that borrowed the car? How would we know that? Like, I mean, the guy. His cousin, uncle, what was it?
Uncle, yeah.
Couldn't he be like, yeah, it was some white guy. Like, there's other white people there. He's not the only white guy there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't know his name.
Right. Which is why it makes me think that Albin and Gabby were in cahoots with
the detective
right. and Thresh and what all, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely.
One question.
Yeah.
That I wanted to ask
you. Yeah. What is it?
I mean, so after James first witnesses, right, the death of his clone, he goes to meet the group of people who, I know you have like the doctor and like, I don't know, a bunch of other randos. Yeah, but the
dubbies.
The dubbies?
The dubbies.
The dubbies, yeah. Right, because the doctor brings up a good question. He says, what's not, like, do you think they killed the right James?
Right.
Like the duplicate. Or do you think they killed the real James? I mean, realistically, there's like a 50-50% chance.
Oh, yeah.
Which could be a good reason why these people now act so kind of unhinged as well. Because it's like, well, might not even be me anymore.
Right.
So why does it matter? Like that's justification for like all the shit that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well... It doesn't matter because if I do, like, first off, it might not actually be the real me. So why does it matter? And if I do all these crimes and you duplicate me, well, just kill that person.
Right.
It kind of washes away all the sins. Right. And I'm almost starting off new.
And I'm used to it by now. Like, I've done this transformation process doubling so many times that I don't even notice the difference.
That too.
So I could do whatever.
Yeah.
Yo, and there is something to be said, I think. Like, not to, like, oversimplify, like, the thematic intention of Cronenberg. Mm-hmm. But what do you find in almost every situation? Drug busts, car accidents, murder in certain extreme cases. People with money can get away with anything. You know what I'm saying?
That's
what it is, bro. It's a status thing. Like, that's why these people are able to live this kind of life, because they have the money to pay for the doubling.
Right.
That's the only reason.
Right. I think that's the overarching theme here.
Right.
It's like, with wealth comes freedom, and with freedom comes the ability to do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
Like, regardless of whether or not those things you do are good or bad.
Right.
Even like the title of the movie Infinity Pool could mean like a couple of things. I mean, from a more like literal standpoint, like infinity pools are typically associated with like higher status. Like people,
oh, 100%.
People can afford, people who can afford them are generally tend to be wealthier.
Yeah.
But like if you're, you know, not trying to go as literal, like the infinity pool refers to the pool that they go inside that allows them to kind of recreate
an infinite
potentially number of clones or whatever like that. But it doesn't, right. Still what you were saying is that, and I think that is really like maybe the main theme here is with wealth comes freedom.
Oh, absolutely. It's very on the nose, but not in a bad way. Like I didn't get like a bad taste in my mouth from like, oh, he's talking about rich people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I don't think
I didn't
so
get
either.
That at all.
No. Cause he also addresses other questions too, like humanity and just like morals in general
right.
You know?
Like if you're given this ability, like, are you going to be a fucking depraved lunatic like these people?
Right.
Or not?
Right. Cause I mean, also look at it from James's wife's perspective. She's rich, but she wanted nothing to do with it.
Right.
She said, get me the fuck out of here. So it's not every wealthy person is going to act this way, which is good.
That's why it's nature.
Yeah. Right.
Cause she didn't have that money. She didn't know she had that money when she was like 6 years old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like James is more likely to have tortured animals in his childhood than she is what I'm saying. Like something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's just, he's predisposed to that, man.
Right.
So I do want to touch on a couple of things here. I didn't cut you off, right?
Nope.
Okay. Did you notice like some people on the island had like these two tier tattoos?
Yeah.
Like a couple of people had that?
The
like,
locals?
What is that? Yeah. Like, does that mean it's somebody that they know died or something?
Huh.
That's what I was thinking, because the little boy that stabs the double of James had it.
He had two?
Like one, two, like that.
When did he have it before he stabbed James? Like the duplicate?
I can't remember.
Because I was trying to think, like, maybe it's like, you know how they like, gang members do like
if you kill somebody
so I was wondering if maybe it was something like that.
Oh, maybe that's what it is, because then that's why the duplicates of everybody like Gabby and stuff doesn't have it, because they're constantly going through the process. I would assume it doesn't transfer tattoos. Or maybe it does. I don't know.
If you look at it that way, then it is possible that farmer could have been duplicated if like he's done it twice. Like, they just duplicate this guy and use him as, like, bait or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. This shit is,
interesting. I didn't even think about that.
You know what? I think, too, I'm going to go ahead and say, and this, again, it might be a reach, but I think the little boy kills the original James. And I think it's because, like, if you look at the way they present James, first of all, they dress him in white, which is, like, totally, like, not necessary. Like, you could pick any color, right? And the light is, like, shining down on him in, like, a very specific way. And I think, to me, hoisted up on a pole like that, he looks like Jesus Christ.
Wow, dude, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Dying for the sins of his future self.
Wow.
I'm out here, bro.
Damn, that's good. Dude, I've been waiting for this. The color scheme hasn't come out in a while.
Yo,
that's what we need here. Yeah, dude, you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty strong assumption to be made.
And,
I think,
and that's a very clever scene by Cronenberg. Because I mean, you're right. Yeah, like in a sense, it's like a cleansing of the sins you've committed, but it's also like a rebirth or getting like a clean slate. If that was, I mean, assuming that the duplicate was killed and not the
right,
the
no, I got
James.
Yeah.
But like the clever thing about it is that like James is smirking while he's watching this happen. The James in the crowd is watching whatever, his duplicate get killed, and you can kind of like take that one of two ways. Like it could represent, like I was alluding to earlier, kind of like now he has the freedom to do what he wants.
Right.
Or it could represent the death of the real James and somehow the duplicate was aware of that,
right?
Kind of thing.
Because who can tell the difference?
Yeah, I love the ambiguity of that, man. Like, it's like, and there's no answer. Like, you have no idea. There's like, there is literally a 50-50 chance that the real James was done. Dunzo.
Yeah, bro. Which is so early in the movie, too. Yeah.
Was there something else you wanted to add to that before I ask you?
No, it would just be more supporting evidence of that.
Yes,
like,
let's hear it.
Yeah, just like he says, like, oh, I can't find my passport, right? And I'm like, is it because that's after James is killed, I think, the first James that dies?
Yes.
Yeah, because they want to leave, right?
Yeah.
And like we said, it's like a nature versus nurture. It's nature. James, like, was considering this all along. Like, I want to stay, kind of. I don't want to leave because this is where I can act like a fucking lunatic. So he hit it, and then it was a recent enough doubling process where he really didn't know, because I'm sure the memories don't all come back at one time. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, I have no idea where my passport is. Like, where the fuck is it? And he really doesn't know. And then later they show him grab it, because by that time, the memories are starting to more successfully transfer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes. And just kind of harping on that, I think that's very supportive of, I think the trippy scenes are very supportive of that. I think those scenes are representation of, like, either James passing his memories to his duplicate, or possibly his duplicate trying to connect memories together that were passed to him.
Right.
From the real James.
Right.
So it's like, it could, like, those little trippy scenes happening, like you said, could have been like this duplicate's, like, starting to, like, get all this, like, these neural connections that are, you know,
right,
starting to happen. And like you said, now he's remembering, oh, that is where I hid my passport or something.
Right. Kinda. Yeah. It's like being basically growing a brain for the first time.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but just one more note on the nature nurture thing, because you said that and it got me, like, thinking. Later when he's fighting, like, the naked collared James.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example right there. That James was doubled, and right away he was treated like an animal, clearly. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how he...
Dude.
Yeah, that's how he is. That's how he was born, I guess.
That was, yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's, I mean, nurture, but it was also, so, yeah, I was going to say, it was also how he was, yeah, it was how, right, he, was, how he was nurtured. Treated.
Yeah.
The question of, like morality, like, was it right to duplicate? Because, like, is there something, like, yes, I do believe that it is wrong to duplicate something like that. Because you're like, well, does it, yeah, it can retain memories, but is it really, like, does it have a soul, like this duplicate? Yeah. And I really liked what Cronenberg did when he tried to trick us, when it was right after the gang had, like, went in and they, like, shot someone, and they, like, went into, like, the owner of the resort's house and, like, stole something from him.
Yep.
And they got brought in for questioning, and they're all sitting in the white robes. And the detective's like, I think we should teach you guys a lesson. Like, I think we need to make a point out of you guys.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, like, joking around. And then he takes them, throws them all, like, on, like, the whatever cross like that, and slit their throats, only to find out that they're duplicates again. Right. Or are they? I mean,
you don't know.
We don't know, but I don't think that matters. I think, like, what matters is, like, these duplicates do have a soul. Like, they're humans still.
They're still scared. You
know? They're still, like, scared.
They still feel fear.
They still have memories. Like, they can still, like, remember what they did and what they didn't do. And so, like, it, right, once again, just brings up that question of, like, is it right?
Because they all reacted as if they didn't know duplicates were a thing.
Exactly.
Like, I'm about to die. Like, this is fucking horrible.
Exactly. You know, they didn't know they were a duplicate. Right. Exactly. And I thought that was really well done to show from, like, that perspective.
No, agreed. Agreed, man. Very effective scene.
Yeah. What did you think the deformed masks represent?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I thought they were cool as fuck, by the way.
They're creepy.
I don't know. You know, honestly, man, like I said, I could pinpoint several movies and stuff that he took influence from, and this maybe calls to mind episode of The Twilight Zone. Right? I forget the name, right? But it's like these rich, well-to-do people who are, like, wanting to... they all have, like, physical deformities, like, on their face, right? And they talk to this guy that's going to help them, right? He's like, listen, for this to work, you have to wear these masks till midnight. You cannot take them off at all, right? And then midnight comes, and they're fucking hideous, right? The masks, and they can't take them off. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. Yeah, fucked up. But yeah, it's like that reminds me of that because like these people, they're wearing these masks that are like so fucking hideous. It like shows, like, yes, they're nice and clean. They're a new version of the old person, but they're still bringing all that shit they did with them in the previous body with them. Like, they still remember that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And that makes you ugly.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was thinking, like, it kind of, from a more literal standpoint, like what you were saying, the masks represent the, I mean, they represent literally masking their identities, yeah, right? When they're doing all these things, kind of. But I think they're also like a representation of, like you said, their inner selves or like they're hideous monsters, right? From the inside. And it's a way of separating their mundane, ordinary lives from like this, like hedonistic shit that they're all into kind of deal. And it's what allows them to switch from one life to another without like a second glance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, I mean, you almost wonder why conceal your identity. Like, if you know you can just do it again. Like, it's strange to me almost, you know what I mean? But I guess part of that is also maybe deep down, even though they act like whatever, everybody's susceptible to guilt and regret, right? I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they don't want to be seen doing this stuff in a certain kind of way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at one point they do take off the masks, like when they're in that house or whatever, and they're like, they have like a couple of the people tied up or whatever like that. Yeah. Albin's like ripping off his mask. The ladies of the night, yes, that is.
Well, that's what he's doing, right?
Yeah, yeah, very proper way of putting it. But yes, the ladies of the night, but they like kind of ripped off their masks, like they didn't really give a shit.
True that,
like the masks were on there, but it was kind of...
Maybe they couldn't resist.
True.
Like, oh, I kind of want to be recognized for this.
True, yeah.
Doing all this fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more complex and, like, you don't realize when you're watching it, like, when you start talking about it.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I think, honestly, bro, you know, I know we're not done talking yet, but I feel like this is his best movie so far.
I'm trying to remember. I really liked Possessor.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm it's tough. acting wise by far.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I thought Skarsgård and Mia Goth did awesome job. Definitely. I'm not sure which premise I liked better.
Yeah,
but
Possessor is definitely cooler.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah, you know?
More badass.
Yeah,
if that's what you're looking for.
Uh huh. But the acting, for sure. I mean, they both did an awesome job.
Yeah.
One question I want to ask you that I actually don't have an answer to, and I'm legit just asking you.
I will.
I hope you do. You better know.
Yeah.
Why do you think James maiming his clone was the tipping point? Like, before that, he was loving, like, doing all that, like, committing all the crime and, like... the fucking orgies.
You're talking about when they said it was the detective? And
yes.
It was actually him? Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like that, and so that happened, so twice, I guess. So when he thought it was the detective and it was actually his clone, and then when he actually kills his clone at the very end and he's like, becomes like a baby, in a sense. Like,
oh
he's
my
like,
God, so weird.
Yeah, very strange.
So fucking strange. I was like...
I wonder how many times I had to film that scene, but...
hopefully just the one.
Just the one time. Yeah. But any idea why that was what pushed him over the edge? Like, why killing a version of himself or, like, harming a version of himself is so detrimental?
I guess because, I don't know, I guess it's the physical depiction and realization of the fact that, like, oh, like, going through all this process over and over repeatedly, I'm, like, destroying myself. I'm not me anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, about as visceral as you can get, which is why he refuses to kill the leashed James
at first,
because he's like, I just went through that already. I'm not trying to do that shit again. Like,
right.
Fuck you.
Okay. That does make sense.
I can't blame him. for not wanting to.
I know.
Yeah, I
know.
I wouldn't want to either.
I'm good. I know. Okay. That's, I mean, that's a good answer. I literally wasn't too sure, so.
And you know what? Later in the movie, when she's mocking him on the hood of the car,
mm-hmm.
and he goes for the gun, it's the only gun. I'm pretty sure no one else has one. That's the only gun. And it just shows you, it like reinforces like, oh, even after he did all this shit and went through the doubling process and stuff, he's still like a weak little nothing, like a spineless guy, pretty yes. much. Because he couldn't even get the gun, bro. Like it was right there.
Yeah, like, you know, everything he like, does, he's very like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of like the vulnerable. Like yeah. he's very vulnerable in everything he does. And like, yeah, you're right. Like you would think he'd have some sort of, he's a big guy. Like,
right.
And you're right, that just like plays into his whole character throughout the entirety of the film. He is like spineless and weak. Yeah. And
I think that's something to be said too about the whole money, wealth brings power thing. Like, yeah, you could do all this shit because you got this money and stuff, but if you're not like willing to take control of your situation, like you're going to end up just like anybody else.
True.
You know what I'm saying? In that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This shit hits, man, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, like, oh my God, I was about to say something. Oh, you know, the scene after they're on the beach, I think, and she kisses him, right? And she's like, come on, let's go. Then they're walking upstairs. You think, oh my God, they're going to have sex. No, but they're going to do drugs instead, right? Do we think?
And then have sex.
Yeah, that too. But do we think those drugs were given to him? Like, does it, is it just like regular drugs, or is it like a thing they're trying to use to like further his like psychosis? Like once he beats up himself later, like is it just like oh, disorient this is gonna him? Fuck with him more?
I know they said it was an aphrodisiac, right. Which is why the orgy was happening. And but I think it was a little of both,
right?
Because even the next day when they're sitting at the table, like having breakfast, and he's just like all over the
dude,
place.
What the fuck yeah. is that? That like, was so weird.
I think like you said, it's just like one, those people who are there are who have been there and coming there every year do it so often. They're so used to it. But I think like you said, it was also to like kind of like separate him from reality in a sense and drive him further into like the psychosis state so that he right. can be more easily manipulated than right. he already okay. was.
That's what I thought. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't just an innocent, like, hey, let's do drugs.
I don't think so. Yeah, no, I think all of it is planned. And I think this is kind of, I'm assuming it's probably what they do with every victim of theirs. Definitely. Right? Yeah. There's a whole process to it.
100%, man. Fucking, yeah, so like, and when he's beating up the double, like, everybody, like, even if they didn't, you get the sense, like, even if they didn't know who was underneath the hood, they would still, like, love that shit. Because he's going fucking berserk. Like, the way he's acting and shit when he's beating up himself, like, and he doesn't know. And, I don't know. Yeah, like, Gabby's, like, incredibly satisfied, even though she knows that he's going to be upset. Like, it's all just to get themselves off, like, in a manner of speaking.
Once again, like, I mean, not with just wealth comes freedom, but with wealth comes power.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
the ability to control someone like that, like, what's more powerful than that, you know? Be able to control another human being
right.
like that. Like, the whole, like, putting him in a fucking leash and having him crawl around.
So
like,
fucking weird, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're getting kind of towards the end of this.
Ish, yeah.
Ish. I don't want to jump the gun too much, but yeah. We're kind of all over the place anyway. I don't think it really matters, but
you kind of have to be with a movie like this.
Yeah, there's a lot of points
to be made.
Yeah, there's a lot of points to be made in connections. How did you interpret the ending? Like the last shot of the movie?
You know, I really don't have any idea, to be honest with you. Like him sitting in the rain.
Right. Was that like him unable to go back to his previous life because of the things he's done? Is the rain like cleansing? Is that like supposed to be like, I don't know, like a him cleansing himself of the sins he's committed?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure either.
Yeah, or maybe he's just so far gone that he's just like zoning out. Like he just can't even formulate a thought anymore. He's all hopped up on drugs and he's like the 20th version of himself.
Maybe he just doesn't want to leave. Maybe he's just had so much fun at that resort that he's just like, I'll fucking wait till next year. I'm going to sit in this chair until next year.
But he also wasn't given... Oh, no, he was given the choice because they end up leaving...
They all leave together.
They all leave together.
Yeah, and they're all just like talking about like what they have to do when they get back. And
wait, so him sitting in the rain is after that, right?
After that. Everyone else gets on the plane. So he decides
to go back.
Yeah.
All right, he can't stay away.
He wants more. He's just going to wait for them.
But where's he getting the money from? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Well, I think the resort's closed because it's rainy season.
Right.
So everyone's gone. So it's literally just him with his thoughts.
That's fucking strange.
It is very strange.
That's strange.
Maybe he was going to write a book.
Yeah. Maybe he just can't let that go, man. Like, the environment, like, being, like, where he experienced all this shit. Like, he just can't let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, in a bad way, you're saying.
In a bad way. Yeah. Like, obviously, because he's not going home to his wife or whatever. Yeah. You know? Yeah, man. I don't know, man. That's an interesting point. Because he is, at first, forced to not leave when they block him. And when he's in the bus, they block him from leaving.
Yes.
And it... like fucking torturing him and shit, but then I guess he makes that call on his own later. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And remember too, like when he's sucking on the breast of Gabby, right after he kills himself, the fucking animal version. Like
that sentence. If like people didn't know any, pretext to that.
I know. Right. I mean, that's like a representation of like a return to infancy, right?
Yes.
And to me, like sitting in the rain at a later time is also like, oh, I have to like relearn how to like live this new life that I like so much. I need to like learn how to do this again. I need to know how to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like his entire lifestyle has changed in like a dramatic fashion.
True.
So it's almost like that's why they have him suck in the breast, because that was even more brutal than the previous kill that he beat when he beat up the officer. That was even worse. You know what I'm saying? He was fucking absolutely destroying the fucking
animal. Oh yeah, yeah. He bashed his head.
Yeah, with his fucking bare fist.
And is that the body horror you were referring to? Or you said the knife as well.
Yes, the knife more so. Yeah. I think. Yeah. I mean that was too, don't get me wrong. And when it's hallucinations, they literally show like a symmetrically cut body.
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Yeah, I was trying to catch that. There was a lot happening.
Oh, but I was like, whoa, fuck. Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, but I think like there's something to be said about like they don't just have him sucking on the breast for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like there's obviously a reason for that. It's to get milk. But no, I'm kidding. I think that and the rain scene are a little more closely connected than maybe I previously considered.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're kind of done.
Yeah.
I feel like. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of my questions have been answered.
No, I do have a couple of things. Cause I remember I said, Cronenberg's influence from other directors and stuff, right?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
I didn't think about this before, but definitely Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 100%. Right there.
Good call.
1970s Giallo, Dario Argento.
I've not seen.
Did you see Suspiria?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I borrowed it from you.
Right. I mean, Giallo as the genre. That's what I mean. That's like a genre of film from Italy.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's Yeah, we've talked about this. Yes.
So,
brain fart.
The scene where the kid is stabbing him, that's straight out of Suspiria. Showing the knife going in and out.
Yes. Like, yes.
1970s. Giallo, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that makes sense. That's yes.
So for sure.
Oh, Giallo, right? With like the gloves and the knife. Yep.
Yeah, like all the close-ups of like the knife going in the stomach and stuff.
Yep.
That. Oh my God, there was one. Funny Games. This reminded Funny me a games. Lot of that too.
Yes.
That was a big one. And I think that's it as far as influences I had.
That's good. I didn't pull any influences except for Possessor.
Yeah. Dude, and. Oh my God, there was one more fucking thing I wanted to ask you and I can't remember.
Remember, Steve, remember.
I forgot, man. That's so bad. I'm awful.
Damn. Getting old sucks.
Yeah, it does. I'm turning 34 next month, so. Oof. Fuck. Oof. Yeah, I know.
You're turning 34. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, fuck you, dude. Aren't you going to be 34 in August?
Yes.
Okay, so then shut up.
Why you got to bring that up?
Because you just... Okay, you're talking shit. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's a really, really solid movie. Oh, I was going to ask you, your favorite shot. Ooh. Any particular scene you like?
Probably what I was describing earlier when we didn't know whether or not the clone or the real people were going to get killed.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that,
okay.
That was cool.
When they were all in the white robes?
Yeah. Okay. That was a pretty sick shot or okay. Scene, whatever.
Yeah, or whatever,
about,
yeah.
What about you?
Dope. When he first hits the guy in the car, when they show him sitting in the car after that, I thought that was amazing.
Ooh, just like, what the fuck
just happened? Yeah, he's so like, you know. I mean, yeah, you could just see him, like, the color leaving his face and shit. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like, once the acting was so good in this movie.
So good,
bro.
So good, man. Yeah, I thought that was a really well
even
done,
when he's though. Getting, like, he's getting a little handy from behind, and he's...
he was like, oh!
Yeah, I'm like, you had to do that, like, on film, to get a camera in your face.
It's so weird, man.
And then just, like, the little, like, splutter on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was like, that's such a Cronenberg thing, like... Something you don't have to show, but like...
But you show it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, because like... I mean, it's good acting. Like, I was making fun of it. I'm like, okay, orgasms is not his forte. But, you know, it's got to be hard. She's not actually giving him a fucking hand job.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's got to be hard to be like, okay, I'm actually ejaculating.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Like, that's all tough. All
right, and cut.
Right, yeah. Like, that's tough, man. So, I mean, yeah, they did a great job, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the supporting actors were pretty solid, too, I'd say.
Yeah.
Cinematography was definitely a fucking banger.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Yeah.
I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Except for all the flashing lights. But
I'm a little dizzy.
Yeah. I actually must have fucked you up, too, then. Like the hallucination scenes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It was interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, too, when he first undergoes the doubling process, he hallucinates and he's seeing Gabby... in the nude, right? Not his wife?
Yes.
Right. So, like, immediately when you start the doubling process, all your inhibitions are, like, totally lowered, like, immediately. Like, it almost enhances, like, anything you bad
that you desire. Have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it almost makes it worse, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think they know that, too. Because it's a money machine, dude.
For sure.
They're like, oh, we know they're going to do all this shit and they're going to pay us again, so...
Definitely.
Like, who knows if the doubling process does that on purpose? Like, makes you fucking violent.
I'm so curious how this, like, low-income country developed this...
That's what I want to know, because it's got to be expensive as fuck, right?
Like, was it just one smart guy that, like, was just, like, mixing a lot of chemicals together? And then, like, wait a second. If I step in this, like...
Dude. And, oh, my God, also the scene when he's looking at his double for the first time, and it's, like, in the red liquid still.
Oh.
And he's like...
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oof.
Actually, it didn't scare me, but I was like, huh. That's
fucking... No, I'm just like picturing myself in that position.
Yo, it's very freaky,
unsettling.
Though.
Yeah.
Fucking oh my god. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty satisfied.
Yeah, dude.
With the
conversation. Yeah. What do you think, man? You wanna slap that first or you want me to slap it?
Oh god. You can go first. You
all
might
right.
as well.
Yeah. Excuse me. Once again, this is another hit by Brandon Cronenberg. We talked about the cinematography. We talked about the score. This is a breath of fresh air following our previous review of Skinamarink. Production costs were a little higher, so it actually felt like a story with a plot, which was great.
Yo, that's funny.
Even though I did give it a decent rating, but still, it was nice not to have to think so hard. Acting was really, really well done. It does bring up a lot of questions about humanity and morality and just, you know, identity and what you would do if you had the freedom to do whatever you want with no repercussions. So it is very thought-provoking. So for this movie, I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay. Okay. Dude, I feel like, I was just thinking, have we ever done 0.5? Like, is that a thing? Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I think that was the first time I ever did a point.
Dude, but, I'm about to, too. That's why I was really? Like, yeah.
So, and the only reason why I gave it a 7.5 is I'm pretty sure I gave Possessor an 8 out of 10.
Right. And you like this a little less.
I think just a little less. Slightly.
Okay, that's why it's interesting discourse, because I'm the opposite.
Ooh.
And I don't remember what I gave Possessor, but I'm going to retroactively give it a 7.5. And now I give this an 8.5.
Nice.
I like a little more.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was generally easier to follow, personally.
Than Possessor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got.
Okay.
But Possessor is still fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could watch it again one day when I'm not, oh my God, I gotta fucking record a podcast.
I know. Yeah. There was a lot of pressure.
We were freaking out.
Yeah.
It was something else, man. I think it's, I think Cronenberg's got a promising career ahead of him, man. He's going to be good. I'm excited.
He's pretty young, right? Is he even 40 yet?
I don't think so.
Wow.
And listen, not for nothing, bro. His father has made some fucking bona fide classics. He's also made some fucking stinkers.
True.
I think Cronenberg, his son, I think he got a serious chance to like kind of one up his dad, honestly.
100% agree with you, man.
There.
Like, I think he could be up there with like in terms of consistency with like Astor and Eggers.
Oh yeah.
In that sense. Like
bro.
I think he was successful from the get go, and I mean he's 3 in, and I haven't seen Antiviral, but I've heard
it's solid.
It's solid.
Yeah.
And the following movies are all great. I don't think he's gonna fuck it up at this point.
No, I think so.
He's got a system down, and I think he's going to continue that.
I mean, to me, honestly, I kind of already prefer him over Astor, purely for the fact that Hereditary is like an all-time classic.
Mm-hmm.
Midsommar, I was like, I'm like not crazy about that movie. You know what I'm saying? And Beau Is Afraid, I kind of don't want to sit there for 2.5 hours and watch Joaquin Phoenix be old, young, and
bro, I'm not
teenager.
Really
like, I'm like, I don't care.
I'm not really into that. I don't think I'm going to watch it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'll probably still watch it, but I'm like,
I don't know when we have time. It's pretty long.
You hear Robert Eggers, okay, he's doing Nosferatu, and then Astor's doing Beau Is Afraid. I'm like, okay, I kind of don't care about that.
Oh, they all seem to be using Skarsgård. I mean,
yeah, dude, awesome.
That's it, man.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. You gave it a 7.5, right?
7.5.
Okay, I just want to make sure I have that for later. Yeah. All right. So, what do we think? We you want me to tell them?
Yes, please. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I know, right? Me too. Can't believe we haven't done it yet.
I know.
So, the ultimate experience in grueling terror. When a group of college students finds a mysterious book and recording in the old wilderness cabin they've rented for the weekend, they unwittingly unleash a demonic force from the surrounding forest. 1981, Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead.
Damn.
Fucking exciting.
About time.
Yo, I'll be honest, man. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm kind of down to just go on a tear with Evil Dead right now. Like, if you want to do...
Yep.
Like,
that
all
would
of
be...
them. We haven't done 2013, right?
Nope.
I mean, listen, again, on air, I don't want to go too far ahead.
That's true, but...
I would be down to just rip through the whole thing, I'll be honest.
I'm not opposed to that idea either.
Like, every single one.
I'd
be down with that.
Pretty giddy now that you said
that. Including Army of Darkness.
Of course, Army of Darkness.
Yeah. But, yeah, all right, so that's our next movie. And that's kind of it, I guess, right?
Yeah, guys, just remember to go on and rate us. Give us a rating.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah. Give us a rating. It's going to help push us up the ladder a little bit. I know we're taking our time with these podcasts, but, you know, we're doing our best here.
Hey, yeah, absolutely, man. And we're inching closer to 1,500 plays.
Oh, we're crushing it, man.
Yeah, doing only good. Like 100 and... Like 74 plays to go.
Are you? We're doing good.
It's not that much.
Let's just keep it going.
We'll get that in like another year.
Another, I hope, before that. Oh my God.
No, we will. We will. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it, man. Okay. All right, guys. Well, we will see you later, Threadheads.